You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 8, Episode 25 coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And we thank Anthony and all the team for their continued support of the podcast. Quite a bit to get through on this week's show. We're going to talk about the title race. Does anyone want this title? How many teams are still in it? We're going to have a bit of a chalkboard segment, really, at the start of the show, a bit different to what we normally do. We're going to break down kind of big talking points from the last few days. Bows, are they genuinely in relegation trouble? There was Rennie out chance the other night, so we'll talk about that with Gary. John Caulfield had some interesting comments to make about the calls for that Pats go again to be called off before the teams played out a 1-1 draw at the weekend. We've got Aidan O'Brien moving to Shelburne in the last couple of days. Quite a bit going on in the First Division. Lots of talk about Longford Town as well online. Over the last few days, quite a few of you tagged us in that tweet with a bit of an inaccurate attendance, but it's still worth talking about all the same. So we'll get through all of that. Busy BTS hotline, lots of you on to us this week. So lots to get through, along with the Predictions League as ever. But Gaz, does anyone want this title? It started off on Friday night with Derry dropping points at home to Dundalk. Saturday, Sligo Rovers, the informed team in the league, they beat Shelburne. And then on Sunday, Shamrock Rovers let the 3 points slip against Drogheda in a 1-1 draw. So who wants this title and how many teams are in the race? That's my first question of the night to you.
I feel like we have to look back on all the shite we've talked this year. And as with most of it, it is... Well, let's say regarding the title race, it's a lot of it has been pure rubbish because you would have expected to have Shelburne without a win in three, considering what they've done this season. Particularly that loss against Sligo would be damaging, but as you said, they've been very good in the past few weeks. They've probably the form team in the league. And I know I did very poorly in the Predictions League, but I think I got this result right.
We actually had a great tweet into us. Someone said, great prediction about Sligo Rovers, lads. And I had to ask him, well, which prediction was that? Because I got the feeling he was being a bit sarcastic. Because, of course, it's probably only, 6-7 weeks ago we predicted that they'd finish bottom of the table. But we did both predict that they'd beat Shelburne the other night. So it was very much our bottom of the table prediction he was aiming at. But it's been, some turnaround from Sligo in recent weeks. They're only 8 points off the top. They have played a game more than Shelburne, but are Sligo Rovers in the title race? And if they are, then Waterford have to be in it too, because on the same points as Sligo.
I don't think either team are genuinely in it, simply because the consistency mightn't be there. I know, obviously, if Sligo keep the form that they have at the moment going, then they'll be in contention. But I still think there's not enough time left in the season for Shelburne to be hauled in sufficiently by Waterford or Sligo. On saying that, Shamrock Rovers have a couple of games in hand on the teams above them, so you imagine, let's say they get 3 points out of one of those, lose the other or draw the other, so that'd be 4 points. They'd be comfortably above Waterford and Sligo. So I wouldn't just say that Waterford and Sligo are in contention at the moment. I just probably squad depth isn't there. Another couple of injury. I think one of the things that we were saying before about Sligo's return to form is that they've had a lot of players back from injury. But another couple of injuries could do them serious damage the same way again. So, I still think it's a two-horse race at the moment.
Two-horse race. Shamrock Rovers, of course, everyone felt if they won on Sunday that it was a three-horse race. And I know Duffer and Higgins both said before that game that they felt it was still a three-horse race. But Rovers have that huge game coming up Thursday. So I suppose, as we said last week on the show, the result of that really will decide where the focus is for the rest of the season.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I don't think it's in Shamrock Rovers to say, the league is out of our grasp. They're going to keep fighting for us as best they can. They weren't great on Sunday. And great equaliser from, what's his name? Oh, God. I have another name in my head, but it's not him. We'll come back to him. Yeah. But yeah, good equaliser. Very, obviously, desperately bad defending. I don't know what was going on. Conor Kane,
James Taylor.
Thank you. Yeah, Conor Kane must have ran, what?
Yeah.
60 yards, went up in touch. Gary O'Neill was half interested. And I texted you about that. Goes to show him, maybe I'm not so wrong in my estimations of him.
He was allowed to travel a long way with the ball. But you mentioned Taylor, like, it was a great finish. He had actually had a chance just before that as well. So Drogheda had been knocking on the door. They actually finished the game the stronger. If anyone was going to score a winner, I thought it was Drogheda.
No, and that would have been obviously extremely damaging for Shamrock Rovers you don't want any more losses on the board when you're trying to put some pressure on the title challenge. But yeah, just overall, I still think it's a Shelburne Derry race, heavily weighted towards Shelburne.
Desperate performance from Derry the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't great. I watched a good bit of the, what game was it? Bowes and Waterford. But do you watch most of the Derry?
I watched all of that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously. I was surprised you didn't go to it, actually. But yeah, it's another opportunity lost. There was a lot of talk from what I hear about who wasn't there one team that in the Premier League that you saw was playing a Sunday, and that meant that the other team in the title chase was always the day before. So, like, you know, one team knew what they had to do, and there was pressure on one team and not the other, or vice versa. Like, if Derry had won that game, you know, would it have put a bit of doubt into Shelburne's mind, just we really need to perform here against Sligo, who are, you know, on a good run of form at the moment and are causing teams lots of problems. It might have put a bit more doubt or fear in the name of it.
I suppose they didn't need it in the end. Sligo got the result, but
I'm talking about Derry. If they had won that game, you know, it would have put more pressure on Shelburne. I know it didn't matter in the end, but like, they didn't know what was going to happen 24 hours later. Derry still should have went out and, you know, been just going and winning that game. I know I'm saying stuff like that is games are a handy won. They're not. But at the same time, you're trying to win a bloody league here. You're not trying to, you know, finish fourth instead of fifth.
Mm. First 20 minutes, they were all over Dundalk, and I thought it's only a matter of time. But once Dundalk got their noses in front, a great header from Mountney.
Yeah,
Derry, the goal they got was, I wasn't sure whether it was a goalkeeping error or whether it got a deflection. I think it got a nick, so I let the goalie off there, but they never really troubled the keeper. And this is a keeper who's been under huge pressure since he came into the league, Felix Goddard, and he never really was worked at all in the night. The one thing I couldn't believe was how quiet and the lack of service that Patrick Hooban got, the man that was brought in to score the goals to win them the league. Now, he's done that in the early part of the season, but his goals have tapered off a bit recently. And
yeah,
just watch that game back and you can see why. He got no service whatsoever.
Yeah, people might think I'm going crazy. I'm going to reference another thing from the Premier League in England.
Well, football is back this weekend, of course, Gary.
Oh, that's right. Well, according to Off the Ball and balls.ie and all them other outlets. but anyway, when Van Persie came in, that famous story of what Alex Ferguson said to the, you know, Scholes and Wayne Rooney, if you can't find him on the pitch, you won't play. And I don't think there's been enough of that mantra brought in regard to the service of Patrick Hooban. It seems to be let's play through the thirds and we might get a few more goals than we got last year because we've Patrick Hooban up front. I don't think there's enough urgency to get the ball to him and let him, you know, and create meaningful chances for him. But that's been, he's still the league's top scorer, isn't he? That's just probably more his own class than much else.
Two hat-tricks against Waterford, I think, will help that. But
yeah, I don't think it's strong enough, to be quite honest. The service to him hasn't been great, and you know, this is another example of that the other night.
Yeah, so a real messy weekend at the top of the table. Elsewhere, it's getting very messy at Dalymount Park, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. So I think someone was chirping at me. You know, there was I think something about my obsession with Bose. And I don't know, he's a friend of mine, a Bose fan, but he texted me after the game on Friday and was like, I can't believe people are digging you out about your obsession with Bose. You've been right for the past 4 years. And like, I know there's only one game, and also that was never a penalty either. It was a mile outside the box, another brutal decision. But yeah, to be 2-0 up at home after not having not won at home for so long, and they're, you know, I mentioned it on last week's pod that their home form has been absolutely deplorable all season.
Worse than the league.
Yeah, and to be 2-0 up against anybody at home, to concede 3 goals and lose the game, miss the penalty in the last minute is just...
It's ballsy.
It's very ballsy.
I phrase a few weeks ago, but
yeah, it's not a surprise from
no
Bohemians at all. Yeah, it's just boring, to be quite honest. And
what about the Rennie out chance? Do you think there's justification for that type of talk, or is it too early in his reign?
It's too early, and like, if you go back a long time after Declan Devine was sacked and Rennie was eventually brought in, that we were saying that there's no point in looking for Rennie out, and I don't know if we were that had much of a premonition that they'd be singing Rennie out come August.
Yeah.
But like, this is only August and we're only halfway through August. That they'd be singing that just yet. But we also said that it's going to take two or three windows of players coming in and players exiting before he can really put a stamp on it. Now, saying that, he has brought some significant players back, Dawson Devoy and Ross Tierney.
I think there was maybe a feeling after those players came back that there'd be an instant kick. But I think you've touched on this before. Like, Bose has been such a mess in terms of their transfer policy over the last few seasons. They tried all the overseas signings, didn't work, and now they seem to have gone back to, right, let's just get lads back that we know. That's going to eventually have to come to an end. You can't keep on signing ex-Bose players. You're going to run out of people eventually. So where do they go next?
Is going through their WhatsApp messages and go, oh yeah, what's he at? Ring him. Like, it's not a policy at all, and they don't seem to have any. I complained before about that Bose have no identity, and I stand by that.
On the pitch, off the pitch, they clearly have an identity, as we all know, and they've been very successful in, I suppose, monetizing that and building links in the community and all the rest. But on the pitch, I've said it before, this current team is very soulless to me when I watch them, and I think that was displayed again on Friday night.
Yeah, soulless is definitely a word I'd use. Pure shite is another phrase I'd use. Like, there's some players there that are really playing, doing their level best. Some players doing quite well. It's going to take a while for Dawson Devoy to get back to what we saw before he left. I know he's played a good few games in the UK, but he's back now. Same with Ross Tierney. So, it's going to take a while for those players to get up to speed again. And I just don't know what the point would be of getting rid of Rennie at this moment. I don't think that's a real runner. But during the phase of a new manager putting their stamp on it, you have to win games along that process. Do you know what I mean? You can't just lick your arse to it and, like, you know, this isn't my team or anything like that. You have to start moving it along, and that doesn't seem to have been done yet. You'd have to question also the impact of Stephen O'Donnell.
But yeah,
what exactly has he been doing since he got in there? Just as an example, I know Trevor Crawley was there beforehand with was he there? He was there with Keith Long, and he's regarded as one of the best coaches in the country. I've heard that from a number of League of Ireland players down through the years, that he's just brilliant. So now I think he's with the under 20s or under 21s or whatever age it is now in the League of Ireland Academy structure. So you've lost some quality there. Yeah, look, stuff like this is going to happen when football isn't the priority, so it's just simple as that.
Are they a genuine threat of being pulled into that dogfight, as we like to say?
You like to say. I despise that phrase. if you look at the table, they have a couple of games at hand.
Mm.
They haven't won a game in a good while. Like a league game. They won the cup, or they won in the cup against Rovers, which is nice. But they're only 4 points ahead of Dundalk, and
I think more significantly, they're only 6 points ahead of Drogheda, and Drogheda obviously have found a little bit of form again. There's a bit of energy around the place. The signings that have come in have made an impact, whereas we're talking about Bowes, all the signings they've made haven't really made an impact. I know there's been flashes from Davoy and definitely from Tierney, but the overall last 12 months, if you look at all the new signings that have come in at Bowes, they haven't really improved things, whereas the players that have come in...
Except Drogheda, the keeper. The keeper's been good.
But Drogheda, these players have only played a handful of games since they came in the summer. We're talking about Douglas Taylor there. He's made a big impact. Shane Farrell's made a huge impact. And we're starting to see players like Conor Kane slowly get back to his best as well. So there's a little bit... There feels like there's something brewing at Drogheda. 6 points, and I know they've played two games more, but I don't think it's an insurmountable gap that Drogheda could maybe... claw Bowes back into it. Dundalk performances haven't been wonderful of late. They're trying to bed in a lot of new faces as well. So look, it'd still take a lot for Bowes to end up 9th or 10th from here, but I do think they're definitely in the conversation for it, the way they're playing at the moment and all the bad energy there is around Daly Mount Park as well.
Yeah, one of those games is against Shamrock Rovers, who will be trying to heap pressure on the teams ahead of them in the run-in for the title. So that's going to be quite a difficult game. I know it's a Daly Mount, and they're all always kind of different, those games, when there's your form, as the cliche goes, form goes out the window for these ones. So maybe there'll be an opportunity for Bowes to maybe pick up a couple of points there, a couple of points, one or three maybe. But they're obviously no gimmies, and you know, if you're there looking at, like, Dundalk are only 2 points ahead of Drogheda. We were talking a while ago about, wasn't there a six-point swing at one point? Wasn't there a few weeks ago?
It was a good while ago. It was the night that Dundalk beat Shamrock Rovers with the last-minute goal, and Drogheda were up against Galway and conceded two goals in the 90th minute. There would have been Drogheda up until Dundalk scored that goal, and obviously Galway were behind against Drogheda. There was an 8-point swing in the matter of a couple of minutes. That was a huge...
Yeah, and look where it is now. Like,
yeah,
Drogheda have 4 wins, and Dundalk have 5. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that...
Well, obviously, look, Drogheda played Dundalk on the last day, so if they can keep it within that point range, then...
Where is that game?
In Weavers Park. So I think they'll be happy enough with how things are going at the minute. Just keep in touch, but... if Bowes don't start picking up results, then all of a sudden Drogheda might start saying, geez, if we mightn't just catch Dundalk, we could actually catch Bowes as well. So yeah, the pressure is on Bowes. They've got that cup trip down to Kerry. That obviously could be a good chance to, you know, score a few goals and get some good feeling around the place. But if things go wrong there, then I know it's a word that can be used too much, but like, things could go toxic there.
In Daly Mount?
Yeah, if they were to lose to Kerry on Sunday.
Yeah, imagine if that game was actually in Daly Mount. That wouldn't be great. But look, I think we can relatively happily agree that Kerry are going to lose to Bowes on Sunday.
But we put out a tweet earlier for people to enter the Predictions League this week, and a lot of people are going for a tight game there. I don't think there was too many saying the Bowes would just brush them aside.
Oh no, I don't think they'll brush them aside. They're not able to brush aside at the minute. But following up that game, like, if just for example, if Bowes are knocked out of the cup, they go to Talca Park on Friday. You know, it's just pain in the hole after pain in the
hole.
They've
got a tough run of games coming up.
They do. So they play Shelburne in Talca. They play Rovers in Daly Mount, and then in the first week of
September.
They play Shelburne at home, and then they go to Derry. Oof. Like, none of, like, that's all just pain and suffering right there. Like, it's not, you know, it's not, none of it's ideal. And, you know, I know in that position, like, all these games are tough, but, like, there's a particularly rough and tough run of games there for Bohemians, and they're going to find it extremely difficult with the way they're playing, the feeling around the place. You know, no one wants to hear, like, I'm sure Rennie isn't exactly happy hearing Rennie out, and how could he be happy looking at the shite that they're serving up in the pitch?
Yeah, that's it. Meanwhile, I was just looking at scrolling through Twitter earlier on. Pats have landed in Azerbaijan. They're settling into their hotel there for the game against Sabah Baku on Thursday. But of course, the game against Galway on Sunday, Stephen Kenny very much wanted that game called off. It went ahead, and it ended 1-1. But I think it wasn't a fantastic game of football. I watched it on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Wasn't a great game of football to watch.
Great goal. Who got that? McLennan, was it?
Yeah.
Great strike.
Mm.
Very, very nice goal, I have to say. One of my favourites this season. Just really, really struck.
Unfortunately, an error then from Anang for the equaliser.
Yeah. And he actually said that, to be fair to you, when he came back. He's prone to a bit of a blunder. And there was a couple of ones that...
Yeah, he got... I don't know if you've seen it, but the goal that was disallowed for Galway...
Oh, scandal. Scandal. Yeah,
I thought that was incredibly soft. Anang was incredibly erratic on the day. When he came for a ball, you didn't know whether he was going to punch it, catch it, parry it. He just didn't know what was going to happen. He's a very, very erratic character. I thought he got away with that one massively.
There's no... That's not soft. There was no foul there.
Mm.
That's a scientific fact. But never a foul in a million years. Brutal decision.
Yeah, as I said, it wasn't a fantastic game of football, but after the game, John Caulfield, I think it was his comments that kind of caught the attention of most people. He said that he felt that Galway had been disrespected a little bit in the lead up to the game. And I was just thinking, over the last few weeks, we've had Duffer and Higgins go toe to toe. Now, I think there's been a bit of making up since then, when certainly Duff in the press anyway, you know, he said that Rory Higgins was one of his only friends in football, and he'd hoped they'd get over it going down the line. But we've had that go on, and now we've had Kenny and Caulfield facing off on the sideline once again. So I'm hoping that this is maybe a start of a bit of bite coming back into the league, because we've been very critical of it, been too pally, but starting to get, I suppose, big. You know, you've Duff in the league, you've got Kenny, you've got Caulfield. These are big characters, so you want to see this type of stuff going on, really.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Like, we just need to get like a proper scuffle, you know, on the pitch, like, you know, proper shouting match. And
Caulfield's will never be topped down that time in Waterford when he got shoved on his hole. But yeah, I think it was a certain Bash in here. He shoved him over, was it?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just ask him about that.
Yeah, ask him about that.
I'd forgotten about that. That was mad. I wouldn't go as far as disrespecting. Like, that's just pure crybaby nonsense. Stephen Kenny's going to look, if he thinks he'll get an advantage in any way, shape or form, same as anybody else, they'll go and take it. I don't blame Stephen Kenny looking for it at all. I think he was completely wrong at the same time, but I don't think he was out of line or disrespecting anybody. Nothing to do with Galway, really. But the game should have went ahead. Glad it did. Galway will be annoyed that they didn't get the 3 points, particularly with that stupid decision from the ref bailing out the keeper, who was incredibly weak in that passage of play. Not a great night for Anang either, and that doesn't help when you're going to, you know, a big European tie a few days later. Hopefully he'll be able to iron that out and put in a strong performance on Thursday evening.
And finally, just on our chalkboard section for now, before we move on to the first division, Aidan O'Brien, former Irish international, heading to Shells. That's O'Brien and Cunningham now, two former Irish internationals that have signed for League of Ireland clubs in the window. So good to see this calibre of player coming into the league. He's only 30 as well. It's not like he's totally past it. He's been playing EFL football regularly over the last number of seasons. His goal record, though, hasn't been fantastic. It will be interesting to see what type of goal output he gets for Shelburne between now and the end of the season.
Without a doubt, it's something that they've needed to rectify, and it seems like there's been an opportunity to do so for Shelburne, to be fair to them. I think it's, you know, we don't know how long Boyd is going to be gone for.
Mm.
Reinforcements
and Jarvis gone too, so.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's going to be a problem for whoever is leading the line, that you're going to miss that creativity out there and, you know, the running at players that Jarvis was doing. So I think it was a great... Well, it remains to be seen how great it's going to be, but I think it's something positive that Damien Duff had to do to bring in something of a goal scorer to help them in that area, because I think that's probably one of their... Well, it is their weakest area, probably. They haven't been scoring at all. Well, not at all, but like, they haven't been scoring very much. Like, 29 goals on top of the table is... 29 goals in 26 games. And when you look at it like that, it's shocking poor, but they've been the team that have been getting their noses in front and not relinquishing that lead. It was Sligo's turn on Saturday. And I just have to... Just on Sligo, I know we're segueing into them, but fair play for the turnaround in form. But that was a huge win on Saturday. You know, it was a game changer for them to get a result like that against the league leaders in a season that had so many low points. Absolutely fantastic result. But just on that, I did, and this has also set myself up for remember when I was right. What exactly do you think Sam Bowen was doing for Sligo's opener?
I didn't see it back, to be honest.
All right.
Didn't see that game back.
You were busy, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's in the six, maybe his 6-yard box, maybe not fully a 6-yard box, Justin. And he's decides to pass it across his box low to another player. Like, there's children that wouldn't do that. It was absolutely insane stuff.
And this came off the back, of course, of a you were at the game. You thought it was a very poor performance from him individually against Derry on the Monday night. So
defensively, it was extremely... defensively, it was fine. Stopping stuff going, but like trying to play the game, no. It was poor. Like, there was no passing ability, urgency. You know, Duffer there having a minor stroke on the sideline watching the slow play around, and there wasn't done. Bowen was particularly poor on the offensive side of the game. But and just on that as well, Sligo loving from me this week, but Shelburne's goal was well offside as well. Another poor decision. There was no question about it as well. It's basically, like, it was tight and it was running, but those are decisions that you're looking for the linesman to make. Like, that's his main job about with the offside and throwing. So that's all there's to that. So Shelburne were lucky to even get the goal that they got.
There you go. Right, we'll move on to the First Division review. And Bray Wanderers, I put my faith in them last week, and lo and behold, they let me down. UCD 1-0 winners.
Yeah, a bigger bollocks. Did I go for them as well?
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, no.
You went for the draw.
Oh, Jesus. Kind of the... not unexpected, but, you know, a 1-0 loss at home to UCD was probably, looking back on it, we really should have went for it. We were probably buoyed by the result against Harps.
Yeah, it's just typical Bray, isn't it? It's one step forward, two steps back all the time.
Well, that's it. And like, if you look back at the goal, like, the defending was dire, like absolutely dire. I really don't know what was going on. There was no real attempt to... It was just like two players standing there and the UCD player just ran through them.
What's new there?
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't seem like this type of stuff is changing. So look, a really good finish from the UCD lad. I think it was Raggett that got the goal. And
having a good season, actually.
Really is, yeah. Kind of, could he be the start of it? Could he be the new Liam Kerrigan in the next couple of years?
Liam getting ready for a Serie A season, of course.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
He's played a couple of pre-season games, I see, so hopefully he can break in. It'd be great to see.
Absolutely, yeah. Particularly for us, big fans.
Yeah, or you, anyway.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I'm right. So hopefully, yeah, he can get a good run and stay injury-free in particular.
Tell you what, it's been an absolutely smashing couple of days for Wexford. 2-0 winners against Harps. And then last night, Monday night, they came from behind to beat Athlone Town, the form team in the division outside of Cork City, I suppose. Probably in even better form than Cork over the last few weeks. So 6 points from six. Is this the start of the run into the playoffs for Wexford?
I couldn't believe that they got this result, to be quite honest. Like, I was
the Athlone result?
Yeah, last night.
Mm.
I forgot it was on. And then flicked it on and saw watch Athlone go 2 up, went to the shop and came back and saw it was 3-2. What a result. Some really good goals in it as well. Some nice finishing. Poor defending though, even from Wexford still. Still their Achilles heel, but probably the, what would you call it, maybe... Oh, what's the inconsistency of Athlone? I know they're second or third or whatever they are in the table now, but they're still ropey. You don't know what you're going to get at all times. So they're second there, point ahead of UCD. So that was a surprising result, but fair play to Wexford to creep into the playoff spots after that. Two good results in the last couple of days.
And a real kick in the stones for Cove, because they've been in decent form over the last while, 3 wins from their last five, and they had gone into that fifth spot before the Monday night game. So it could be a duel between those two, because we're seeing Finn Harps rapidly lose form at the minute. They've lost four of their last five. Now Treaty kept their playoff hopes alive. We'll come to that game in a minute, but we'll keep moving. Cork City 0, Athlone Town 0. That was obviously on the Friday. Shawnee Maguire getting his second debut off the bench. He replaced Rory Keaton, but despite the two lads both seeing minutes, Athlone held them to a scoreless draw. Interesting result.
Well, probably not very interesting at all.
No,
actually.
No.
Cork, all they need to do is just keep her lit until the end of the season, and that'll be it. You know, Athlone were the only team that bet them this season. So, would have been nice for Athlone to get one over and then down there. But I think that was always going to be a tough ask. Obviously, the big news for Cork is the boys coming back. Remains to be seen how that goes. But you know, there's another season of Premier Division football ahead of them. So can they refine their form that they had with Cork and their last times they were there? Remains to be seen, but thankfully from a Longford perspective they'll be out of the division and we won't have to look at them.
Kerry FC 0, Cove 2. As we said, that was a big result for Cove. It did push them into the playoff places. They've slipped out of the top five now, but they're setting themselves up for a big finish to the season, Cove. To be fair, they've kept with that top five throughout much of the season when everyone before a ball was kicked had written them off, given the big name departures.
Well, that's right. And also, like they were doing a bit of pricking around 7th and 8th as well. Like they were a good journey off the playoffs at certain points throughout the season. But they're putting the rubber to the road when it counts. We're in the run-in now. There's 9 games left. So there's plenty of opportunities and teams are going to slip up. Like I've absolutely no doubt that Wexford are going to slip up probably against Longford, maybe, you know, which should be totally not allowed, but they have that in them. They have goalkeeping mistakes in them. They have, crazy player decisions on the pitch in them. So I wouldn't be totally confident in Wexford staying there, even with their run-in form to be quite good.
And we'll move on then to the biggest winners of the weekend in terms of a scoreline. That was Treaty United. Endicurran at it again in the Midlands with a hat-trick against Longford Town. 4-1 win for Treaty. Curran was absolutely sensational, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was a few bits. He scored three and he had a wonderful pass to make up the fourth.
Well, it wasn't a direct assist, but...
No, but he opened it up. He made that goal.
Brilliant, yeah.
Let's be honest about it. The first goal, real striker shot. It's on Twitter there and the highlights are up there now. But for anyone that hasn't seen it, just a real...
Hit it first time.
Yeah, it was a really good strike, but like it's a real striker's goal, if you know what I mean. Like the ball kind of just spilled to him and he just pulled on it. And it, you know, caught the keeper off guard. About 25 yards out, right into the roof of the net. Then got a penalty. After time went to sleep at another set piece.
Won the penalty and scored the penalty.
Did he win it? Oh, he did win it. Yeah. And
just like, drew young O'Connor in, just waited for the contact, and down he went. Just really clever number nine play.
Yeah, I was jibing with the ref after, so that was never a penalty. And he goes, did you not think so? I was like, no, it was a penalty. I don't think there was any question about it at all. And then the third one as well, I don't know what Longford were doing. From their own free kick. Desperate stuff, to be quite like, no proper communication or what's expected of people in those situations. And then Kern bounces lovely for him, sets himself up, slots it into the bottom left corner with a wonderful finish. Fair play to him. We give him plenty of abuse. But when it comes to scoring against his former teams, he absolutely loves it. There's no better man for it.
Oh, he made sure to give us a wee smile into the gantry.
He did. And he was dead right to. That's the Russell we were looking for.
Yeah, exactly. But look, as I said, kind of at the top of the show, we've been getting a lot of tweets since that game because the good doctor put out a tweet claiming there was only 68 people at the match. Now, I don't know what type of doctor he is, but I hope he's not a surgeon or anything, because he's clearly not good with numbers. You wouldn't want him cutting into you. You know, make a 2 centimetre cut there, and next thing, the whole front of you would be gone. But look, I think there was 283 was the official attendance that was given. It's not much better in truth. So a lot of people have been tweeting us and asking, what's going on at Longford, and how's the club going to survive with attendances like this and all the rest. I thought we'd have a bit of a discussion on it. I know we have in the past kind of talked about this. We've highlighted a lot of things that people from outside of Longford wouldn't see, such as the economic situation in the town, which is really, really dire. I think people that haven't maybe been in Longford in a while don't realise how many boarded up businesses there is. I mean, one half of a street got burned to the ground the other day. Several businesses affected there, millions of euros worth of damage. That's not going to obviously affect, that's not going to help the economic situation. We've spoken about before, but how many people are working in the big factories in Longford? There's a couple of major employers that are factory kind of jobs, and a lot of people drive in from outside of the county, do their shift for 12 hours, and then they go home, and like, you know, going to a League of Ireland match of a Saturday night isn't going to register on their radar, and that's understandable. And then we've talked about fellas like me and you and Fitz and loads of other people that are from Longford and dedicated town fans but are living away from Longford for work purposes, because there's not a whole pile of work going in Longford. So it's just very, very difficult for a club then to sustain volunteer levels and all the rest. But
there's also like the reality of me and Ethan say this all the time. She's a club at bottom of the first division, having their worst season in their history, probably, certainly in League of Ireland history. Why is there not 2,000 people at the game?
Yeah. In a population of 10,000.
Yeah.
The town.
Yeah, the town is a town of about 10,500, I think. Like, that's not really, you know, it doesn't take that much of a leap, even for a good friend, the doctor, to you know, cop that, you know, for that to register in his brain. But I think there's definitely things that, you know, the club can do better, but also the club are doing well. Mightn't seem like that.
Obviously a lot of people have said, how can the club survive with attendances like this? If Longford Town were relying on attendances to keep them going, they would have been gone a good solid 20 years ago.
Well, I wouldn't say that either. Like, 20 years ago, we were just...
Well, it was the golden period. But let's say the last 10 or 15 years, bar the odd year in the Premier Division here or there, it's been fairly bleak. Averages have probably ranged from 500 to maybe 800 in a good season. But that would not sustain a League of Ireland club if that's what you were solely relying on.
No, but like we'll say, it's also the you know... a fan of a Dublin club, you know, that walks to most of their games, home and away in some cases. I don't really care what you have to say about like the realities of the attendances at Longford Town games, because you just don't know. Like, we dug out Dan Lambert of Bowes there a while ago, talking about how the Bowes fans sold out Talca Park, or the away end in Talca Park there. Was that last year or this year? You know, Longford is quite a central place in the country, and relatively accessible for most parts of the country, but still it's a good trek for us to head down there to do the games. I just don't think, like, if Longford Town, like, at the opening game of the season, there was about 1,600-1,700 people there.
Yeah.
That was against Finn Harps. They brought a good crowd down, so I think there was about, say, 150-200 from Finn Harps. That's quite a significant percentage of the town out at a match.
And the season before against Athlone, there was 1,800, and there was next to no away support there. So, again, as you said, that's a massive population percentage. I mean, if you were applying that to Cork, Galway, or Dublin, then you wouldn't have a stadium big enough to put them out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that is really overlooked at times. But that's not to say that, as you said, more can't be done in that regard. I think a lot of people have said that the club is probably lacking in community involvement. And I think that's probably plain to see. If you drive through Longford, you don't really see a whole pile of reminders that there is a League of Ireland club in the town. And I think there was a lot of tweets, and some of it's very personal, and I don't really like to get into it, but there's been tweets there about, well, how come at a time when Longford is employing someone full-time, how has things, attendance has got worse and all the rest? But I would imagine that that job is a lot of firefighting, because it's one person. We've talked before about the challenges of trying to get volunteers involved and all the rest. So I'd imagine there's a lot of firefighting going on there. And I think we spoke about recently just on the whole wage, the whole PFAI proposal for minimum professionals and minimum wage and all this. And we said the first place the clubs should be investing money in is off the pitch. I think if it was up to me, the way things are going at the minute, like Longford Town, I hope they will bounce back next season and be a lot more competitive. But what do you do? Do you do like certain clubs in the division and invest significantly in the playing side of things? And we've seen, I think, two clubs in particular that maybe haven't done that in the past, do that over the last few seasons. And it's brought, okay, maybe small improvements in terms of results, but like, if you go out and spend significantly on the squad next season and they're knocking around in third or fourth, but they have no chance of getting promoted, let's say Drogheda to come down and Drogheda to spend big money because they're full-time, like, are you going to add another 300, 400, 500 onto the gate? I don't think you probably are, because it's a hard sell to get people out to watch the first division. So I would be starting to lean the way of maybe cutting back even further on playing expenses and try and build the club off the pitch over the next 4 or 5 years. Let that be getting more full-time staff working at the football club, because we're always talking on this podcast about how we need to make the league more of an industry. I see recently there Shelburne are hiring, I think it's a video editor or videographer or something like that, and it's a 30,000 a year salary. I think it's great to see clubs finally offering positions like that. It's a great chance for volunteers that have given years and years of service to the club to, you know, go and get full-time employment with their clubs. And I'd love to see a lot more of that in the league.
Yeah, and on that, but just at the start of that, you mentioned about the full-time employee or whatever. You know, that wasn't really the case in years past. There was no full-time anything at Longford. But the amount of forms you have to fill in now, the amount of stuff that was never had to be done.
That's what I'm saying. It's all firefighting. Yeah.
That's not firefighting. That's just like, you know, general admin that has to be done every year that takes up half your life.
But I think people are saying, why is there not more promotional stuff going on, more community work done? One person trying to run a football club, you're going to be entirely bogged down in paperwork, in admin work. This is what I'm saying. I think clubs, and this isn't just on Longford, I'm sure there's other clubs where there's one or two or three full-time employees, and it's still a huge workload to try and go and then do the extra stuff on top. Must be very, very difficult. So I think if we're going to grow this league, as I said, when we're talking about wages, instead of giving lads X amount, I would be looking at trying to get more full-time employees within football clubs to try and professionalise the whole thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the PFAI wouldn't give two shites about that. Like that's not going to help them. You know, the state of clubs aren't that's not an interest of theirs. They have their own thing to look out for, and that's fine. But I think full-time employees would be helpful, but there's always, you want to make sure that that's put to good use as well. Like, you know, it's not just like, let's get an industry here and let's get lads on, you know, decent enough money for the industry that it is, and then go, right, what do we have to show for it? Like, that it's always been better ran,
Are they being more financially sustainable? We're talking about that. We're threatening to talk about all that money lost last year for all the top five clubs in the Premier Division, which we still have to do. And, you know, like, are they going to make sure that that doesn't happen? Like,
if Longford's going to grow, I really think, I do think we're miles off it in terms of the community. I would like to see a full-time community officer. That would be one of the first things I would be putting in place.
Oh, great. Okay, well, look, you'll be down there Saturday week. make your feelings known. That's it.
Okay. I don't think there's much more really to add. I just think there's a lot of people talking about attendances and the club in terms of financial, how is it surviving, and they just don't understand the makeup of the entire club. They've got a very, very good owner. There's been a lot of talk recently about, you know, there needs to be serious investment brought in, but there has been good investors involved with the club over the last number of years. It's just extremely difficult for a club like Longford to compete now, because I said it before, Rovers sell out Tala. That's 110k in the bank. That's the same as winning the league. Like Longford, how are they meant to go and compete with that now? I think it doesn't help, obviously, when Longford have the history of being a club that have punched above their weight, and people have that expectation that Longford can go up into the Premier and trade it with the big boys. But I just don't know if that's realistic anymore.
Yeah, well, like, football has definitely changed. Like the money is more divide. Like, the money that's in place is more. There's far more extremes of money than there has been in previous years. But also, like there was a lot of pricking going on, as we would say, with Shelburne, with Derry, with Cork, like any number of teams back in the noughties were done. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I think probably Bowes and Pats were probably the only ones that were.
Oh, Bowes blotted their copybook plenty of times too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Who was that crowd?
We won't get into it.
yeah. But okay, let's say that, right? But like, all I'm saying is, like, you know, there's been plenty of pricking going on from a lot of clubs down through the years. Longford Town never got involved with that. I know they had 6 points deducted for. I think that was late. Was that tax?
No, it was just paperwork, wasn't it? Late submissions.
The
club was in a difficult position then when they got relegated. There was serious talk that the club was going to get wound up and all the rest. But they regrouped in the first division over them 7 years. And they are, I think you said it there, like, it mightn't seem like it because of the attendances and the results and all the rest, but the club is in a relatively healthy position.
Like, we'll say one thing, like, for example, do what lots of other clubs have done, sell the ground to the council, get a heap of money then, and then piss it away on players, and then rot. You know, it's definitely nice to own your own ground. You know, it's an asset that you'll always have. And look, it's one of the best in the country, so. It would be nice if more people were in it, but at the same time, there's a lot of positives that don't get looked at when it comes to Longford Town.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, look, we'll leave it there, and we'll go into predictions for this weekend. Just to update listeners on how the predictions table stands at the moment. Last week we were joined by Sean Hyland from Shelburne, and he got a couple of correct scores, Gary. He got Dundalk 1, Derry 1, and he got Galway and Pats correct as well. And he also got a correct result, Treaty to beat Longford, which was an obvious one, I'm afraid. So he got 7 points. You only got the 2, and I only got the 3. So we're
running out of time ourselves, aren't we?
We're going to need a big run between now and the end of the season. You're still waiting to break the 100-point barrier. You're on 98. So unless you have a dreadful week, you should do that by next week. I'm on 107 in second place. Listeners are on 119 out in third. And this week, we're joined by...
You're 9 points ahead of me.
I am. You've had a rotten few weeks, to be fair.
Yeah, okay.
You've had a very, very bad few weeks. We're joined by a friend of ours this week, Max Charles, Castle Pollard man, Longford Town fan, big Ireland fan, goes home and away. So
happy birthday, Max.
Oh, is it his birthday?
It was his birthday this week, yeah.
There you go. Of course, it appeared on CBS at the Champions League final.
Very good.
Jeff Shreves.
Oh, it was CBS. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a big Dortmund fan as well. He's got a bit of German heritage too, so he's a very interesting character, our Max, and he's given us some interesting predictions for the FAI Cup this weekend, I can tell you. Yeah, so let's get stuck into those FAI Cup predictions, Gary. We're only going to do selected matches, but I'll just run through the full fixture, the makeup fixture for this weekend. Waterford v Athlone, Cork City v Derry City, Shelburne against Galway United, Sligo Rovers against UCD, Kerry against Bowes on Sunday. The Bowes of Tralee, that one has been tagged, I think. Ballyferma against Wexford, Drogs against Wilton United, and Treaty against Pike in the Limerick Derby. But we'll start with Waterford against Athlone.
Is this probably a bit of a pain for both teams? Like, Athlone are trying to stay where they are in second, and then Waterford are doing the same in third. Is it a bit of a distraction, or is it happy?
I think it's more of a free shot for Athlone. I know they want to finish second, but like, they're not going to finish outside of the top five, which is the main objective there for them, whereas Waterford, there's more pressure on them to try and finish in that top three. It obviously has far greater rewards, so I'd expect Waterford to rotate, whereas I think Athlone will go fairly full strength here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Waterford will still have too much, though, won't they?
You'd have to think so, especially Boyd after that result in Daly Mount.
I'd say it's going to be a tight one, though. I think Athlone did acquit themselves quite well. I'm going to go for maybe Athlone to score. 2-1 to Waterford.
Max gone the same, 2-1 Waterford. I'm going to go 3-1 to Waterford. Athlone just might be a bit deflated after that result against Wexford, but definitely see them scoring down there. Cork City against Derry City.
Oh, yeah. Surprise, there was no complaints. Maybe would Derry fly down? You know, maybe get an overnight stay in the Longford Arms Hotel halfway down. I'd say this is going to be a good game. Like, this is also a free shot for Cork. The league is over. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be nice to knock Derry out.
Wonder will Maguire start?
Well, I don't know how fit he is. He might just do. It's go the distance, will it?
This isn't really important at all for Derry this tight, is it? Compared to the league.
No, they still have to do something in the cup as well.
I know you probably don't want the stink of getting knocked out
here.
You don't want the stink of getting knocked out by a first division team. But I think Cork, it'll probably be a fullish house. I think it definitely means more to them than it does to Derry. But do I see Cork winning this? Probably not, in truth.
Do you think it'll go to extra time?
I think this could be dull enough, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Derry on pens.
So am I, funny enough. I'm going 0-0 over the 90 minutes.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
1-1 after extra time.
0-0 after 90, 1-1 extra time. Is that where you're going?
1-1 in 90 and extra time.
Oh, okay, perfect. Max thinks it'll be comprehensive. He's going 3-0 to Derry City, so maybe he's leaning into the first division is muck kind of mindset. That we've kind of been displaying on the pod this year. Shelburne against Galway. I think this is going to be another really tight one, isn't it?
Yeah, very tight. There's so many things to be concerned about. But I think Shelburne are going to have to. I think they can't let off the gas in any competition. They're going to have to keep going as hard as they can for the rest of the season. I think Shelburne will do it. I'm going to go 1-0 after extra time.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw after 90 minutes and Galway to do it in extra time. I just think the league is the absolute priority for Shelburne. They've been in a cup final a few years ago. I think they can probably wait another season or two to get to the Aviva. I think winning the league is far more important. I can see Galway maybe scoring a couple of set pieces here. So I'm going to go with Galway and Max in this one going for a 1-1 draw as well, just like yourself. And he's going shells on penalties.
Ooh.
Which I could see also. Right, Sligo Rovers against UCD, a fixture that's caused us a fair headache down the years.
Well, it's caused more of a headache for Sligo. There's no question about that. They've dropped a heap of points down through the years against UCD. But yeah, I think their form is just brilliant at the moment. UCD are a bit They're okay, but they're not.
No, they're not a vintage UCD team.
Oh God, no, far from it. So I'm going to go for 2-0 to Sligo in normal time.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 Sligo. Max going 1-0 Sligo, and then the big one on Sunday: Kerry against Bowes at Mount Hawk Park.
Absolutely, a big one is right. I think it'll be. Hopefully, get to watch this one.
Yeah, I think I'm off Sunday. What time's kickoff?
4 o'clock.
Hmm.
I think I sent a friend
of mine. Popcorn out.
Yeah. It's a shame that it wasn't on Friday because after I was at the Bowes Rovers Cup game and having a few pints after, and I was just saying it'd be great if it was Kerry away you got and you could fly down and all the rest of it, but it just doesn't really suit with the Sunday fixture, which is a shame for Bowes fans. Of course, they'd be cycling to Tralee.
they wouldn't be caught on a plane.
No, but yeah, I think look, you can't look past Bowes. I think it'd be crazy.
And Kerry's form in the league recently has been quite poor.
Yeah, I think they will score though. I think they'll make it difficult. I think they might score first. Kelleher has been scoring a good few goals.
Yeah,
this season for Kerry. Why not go ahead? And I don't think they'll have. I think the pace of the game will be too much for them.
Yeah. Don't think that pitch is a bit of a leveler. It's hard to spray the ball around. It's a poor surface.
It's a poor surface.
Quite a tight pitch as well. But I think physicality wise, I think this is a huge step up from what Kerry normally face. So I think it's. I know we've kind of joked earlier about imagine if Bowes lose and all the rest, but it really should be unthinkable for them to lose to Kerry. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Bowes.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 to Bowes in normal time.
It's not great, is it, to be only saying 2-1 to Bowes?
Yeah, but like when if you study it, like, you know, whatever about form and stuff like that, this is a huge occasion for Kerry.
Yeah.
Probably
the biggest since they've come into the league, to be fair.
Yeah, probably after their first win.
And Cork, in terms of crowd size and kind of attention on the game, it's up there with, I suppose, maybe the first game against Cork this season in Mount Hawk. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a huge occasion for them.
Huge occasion is right. No reason why they can't go ahead and in the game and cause a lot of problems for Bowes. Like, look, to be putting it plainly, I wouldn't be surprised if Kerry win this. Like, it is unthinkable on one hand, but like the way Bowes are playing and all of that, like I wouldn't be surprised if Bowes do lose the tie. But who knows? Could it be Shamrock Rovers that are playing?
No, that's gone. Well, the appeal. when's the appeal window closed? Is it gone already?
I don't know if it's gone already, but just from because Bradley was jawing about it there on Sunday, wasn't he? Again,
was he?
Yeah, I thought it was poor.
Do you remember the time that Celtic and Rangers could both win the league on the final day, and it was called Helicopter Sunday because they had the trophy like hovering between the two stadiums? Maybe like Rovers will just be all in a helicopter there, hovering just in case FAI word comes through. Yeah, we changed our mind. Bulls are out. Go ahead, lads. parachute in there to Mount Hawk.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be like that, but yeah, look, I think there's probably an opportunity for Kerry to make it difficult, but I think that'll be all there's to it.
And as I said, the other fixture is Ballyfermot against Wexford, Drogs against Wilton, and Treaty against Pike Rovers, which one of our listeners said a few weeks ago is one of the biggest cup games ever. So we'll keep a keen eye on those cup ties over the weekend, but. Moving on to the BTS hotline, Gary, before we do that, actually, I want to get your thoughts on the makeup of the new Irish management team. I think you had kind of alluded a couple of weeks ago on the show that you weren't that keen for John O'Shea to stay involved, but he is the assistant manager.
Yeah, shines more light on the shite recruitment process. Yeah, it's just another mess. For the FAI, it's really disappointing. Like, obviously, if this was being done for so long or in the process for so long, you'd imagine that some form of backroom team would have been decided long before now. And then to see that as John O'Shea, say, great servant to his country,
and, you know, great player for a number of teams, but I just don't see...
I think we're in a minority on this, though. I think most people are probably happy to see John O'Shea remain in
why?
The setup.
Why? Why? Can someone please tell me why?
Now, no, look, I, you know my thoughts on this. I'm in the same camp as you here. I would have liked a clean slate entirely. And I think that Hannah Grimson here, this might sound very harsh, but I think he might have partly signed his own death warrant here. If he has a couple of bad results early doors, if we get absolutely blown apart by England, which is very likely, and then we have some bad results off the back of that, straight away, the old suspects will be out. The ex-pros in the media, the usual suspects, they'll be out in force saying, give it to O'Shea, get O'Shea in there. He knows Irish football. He knows the players. We've seen all the players.
Love him.
Yeah, the players come out saying how much they love him. I think it's a bit of a shadow to have kind of over you. And that's a strange thing to say about a man that's never managed anyone aside from an interim spell in charge. But I think there could be a bit of a shadow behind Hal Grimson unless he can get off to a good start.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like I used to question like what Keith Andrews used to contribute. To Stephen Kenny. I didn't think it was very much. But look, I'm just so tired of it. Like, you know, I'm completely jaded thinking about it, hearing about it. I was disappointed to see that John O'Shea was appointed as assistant. I don't know why that's a good thing. Like, it's not as if him and Heimer are best pals, like, do you know what I mean? There's no, oh, they managed before together, or, you know, there's nothing like that. Like, so I just don't see it, to be quite honest, and it's disappointing to say the least. But yeah, remains to be seen. Like, you know, what, 3 weeks? 7th of September?
Is that all? Yeah, geez.
Yeah. So, like, that's, I think it's 7th of September, might be
a week later, it's around that, yeah.
So I think, like, we won't find it coming.
And Lee Carsley on the sideline for England, of course.
Yeah, but it's going to hit us like a train. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to be very surprised. I don't know what I'm going to be looking at in that game, but I'll be there anyway. I know that. Please, God.
Right, let's go to the VTS hotline. Quite a busy hotline this week, which is great to see. And a tweet of the week, no doubt about it. Alan Leahy, everyone is shit. Discuss.
Yeah, did you send that to me already? Did you?
No.
Right, I might have seen it somewhere else. Or seen it just on Twitter, but
he's a Pats fan, by the way. So well done, Alan. It's a great tweet. But let me just add to that. So there's a lot of tweets this week about the standard of the league and how nobody wants to win the title. And then we've got a tweet from Thomas Tormey, who does often send us some quite insightful questions. And he says, why does everyone confuse competitive with low quality? Just because the teams at the top don't win every week doesn't mean the quality is poor. Just because Real Madrid got more points in a season than Man City doesn't mean La Liga is better than the Premier League. So where do you sit? Are you in Alan's camp that the league is shit this year? Or are you with Thomas that it's actually just far more competitive? Everyone's taking results off everyone else. And that's been misconstrued as poor standard when it's actually a sign that the league has improved.
Yeah, no, I think there's a couple of pieces because I think it's not that the standard, I think the standard generally or the spectator standard, you know, what we're seeing on the pitch has decreased.
Yeah, I would fully agree with that.
Because what I'm finding, and I've said this before, is that we have a lot of managers that are playing the exact same style of boring shite football, passing it around for ages, no excitement, no je ne sais quoi, no feeling, no emotion almost in how they play. And look, I'm not a GA man at all, but like I don't watch it that much, so like it's probably more stark for me when I see a game of football how poor it is.
It's robotic,
Yeah, from a viewer standpoint, I was watching and I did the commentary on the Shelburne game, and I was able to, whatever brain I was had in my head at that point, I was looking at it, I was trying to see, I could see very clearly what Rory was trying to do with Mark Connolly pinging balls out to Duffy or Doherty, whoever was out there on their particular turn. But I was just more like, that is this it? Like,
yeah,
I couldn't really see what was going to happen next. You know, if Duffy got the ball, it was basically like, all right, Michael, blitz Sean Gannon. He can't turn very well anymore. Go by him and create something. I just think it's a general style of play that has been employed by so many managers across the division. Both divisions allow or makes up for slow play that isn't very enjoyable to watch. So maybe it's not standard we're talking about. It's just more style.
Yeah.
The style has really changed in the last few years, where not having the ball is seen as DEFCON 1 level of, oh shit. So we need to avoid DEFCON 1 by not doing anything that might lose the ball.
Yeah, I agree 100%, because you look at the division, there's no doubt that it's stronger, and everyone agrees with that. Like UCD, Finn Harps, Longford Town, those gimme 3 points. There's none of those games anymore. Look at Drogheda going up to Tallaght the other night. Drogheda going up to Derry, and was that earlier in this season? Like, they've taken scalps off the big teams. Even Dundalk, having a brutal season, are still able to get results off teams. Galway and Waterford coming up, challenging for Europe all of a sudden. Sligo, who we expected to do nothing, challenging for Europe. Like, the league is much, much stronger. The 10 teams.
And more competitive.
Yeah, more competitive. But as a spectator spectacle, it I have found it boring this season.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely bang on there in everything you said. We'll move on. Christopher Miles, who stays up, Drogheda or Dundalk?
Drogheda.
Ooh. Why is that?
Don't know. I don't know. They've been down in this position a few times. They've been able to pull themselves out of it. Yeah. I think they've more of an ability to grind out results. I think the keeper issue for Dundalk is greater than maybe what's realised. I think teams that are playing Dundalk should be putting way more pressure on them than they were. Mm-hmm. Than Derry was anyway. So yeah, I'd be thinking like that. And plus, James Taylor is.
Yeah, like I don't know what it is, and you'll say it's because I'm biased to Dundalk, or whatever. Like, I'm finding it hard to say that Dundalk will go down and finish bottom. But like, when I look at the two teams at the moment, there's definitely more issues I feel at Dundalk. You've touched on the goalkeeper. I've mentioned that there's basically an entirely new back four gone in there. And then the big issue for me at Dundalk is the fact that they don't have a proven goal scorer. Gullen's not up to it. Kenny's getting a run of games. I don't think he's making much of an impact in those games when he's coming on. Now, he's not getting huge amounts of game time, so it's difficult but for a young player to come in and affect games. But this new chap from Hibs has come in. We haven't really seen him as of yet, so maybe he'll turn into something. But you mentioned Taylor there. He's come in at an instant impact at Drogheda. I think he's bringing a bit more out of Perreault, because I think Perreault realizes now he's in a tug of war for the jersey.
Yeah.
So I think standards have improved at Drogheda, because the likes of Farrell has come in, and everyone's probably putting that extra 1 or 2% in training now. All of a sudden, they were having issues with their goalkeepers as well. Young Wogan there lacking in confidence this season. The bar that was there has been injured. He's been in and out. So they've brought in Dennison. I know he made a mistake on his debut and the ball looped over his head, but he's done okay. So I think Drogheda probably have less on their plate at the moment. I think they know what they're about. As you said, they've been in this position. They're able to dig out results, as we saw on Sunday. And if they can just keep digging out results and stay within touch and distance of Dundalk, then it will be in their hands come the final day of the season. So I'm probably inclined to agree with you that Drogheda might be the ones, but obviously they do have to play catch up at the minute. Evergreatest, the league is absolutely terrible this year. No team looks quality at all. First time in God know how many years a team averaging less than 2 points a game will win it. How will this season be remembered in a few years?
Well, it'll be remembered for a lot of different reasons. It looks like Shamrock Rovers aren't going to win, so it's going to break that dynasty up. Probably a good thing for Shamrock Rovers in the sense that they'll have to think long and hard about their squad and the players that they have there and the money they're spending on players that aren't contributing enough, let's say. I did see someone draw about Jack Byrne there somewhere. And I was like, fair play to you, man. You're dead right. But, you know, it'll require a rejig for Shamrock Rovers. If Shelburne go on and win the division, well, that'll be great for them. Like, there'll be a lot of memorable results, let's say, come the end of the season when we look back and it, like, you know, who wins, who loses, you know, who are the winners and losers. Don't think like we'll remember. Do you remember any? Oh my God, what a goal that was!
Well, goals maybe, but games, there's been very few that I would say, oh, I was on the edge of my seat for that. But like, the season will be remembered. The history books remember the winners, don't they? Like, so if Shell's go and do it, Duffer's won a league in what is third, fourth season in charge, that will be the story. As you said, I suppose Rovers, if they come back and win it now, it's five in a row, never been done before. We could still potentially end up with two teams in the group stages of Europe, and that would probably save the whole thing. So it's probably too early to say how will the whole thing be remembered. But Evergreat is there very much in the camp that it's a poor league this year. Sam, obvious place to start is the true Tog Fillers, yourself and Gary. Love the drinks question.
Not
given the food one and bottled it, more like the other red and black stripe team in the country. So there you go, not a happy listener, unfortunately. Joey Brown, Drogheda going to finish ninth. So Joey obviously thinks Dundalk is going to finish 10th, unless it's Bowes he fancies. But Athlone Town fans, does anybody actually want to win the league? This is taking the piss now. Matthew, with Bowes league form being what it is and the next four games being Shells away, Rovers at home, Shells at home and Derry away, how likely is it that they will be in the relegation promotion game, and how likely is it that Reynolds won't make it to the end of the season with current form? We already spoke about the relegation promotion thing. Do you think Reynolds sees it to the end of the season?
I don't think there's any question. I think it's, you know, vibes need to be put to the side of Bowes. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I said it at the very start of the year, or when he left, and I'll say it now, they'd be in the same position now if they had Declan Devine.
Yeah, 100%.
With the squad that they have, and obviously they've brought in good players in the last while, and Tierney and Devine, and they're still not clicking. So I think they would be exactly where they are now if he was still there. But as you said, the vibes were so bad that he had to go. So I think Bowes just need to like really decide where they're going as a football club, because come at the end of the season, if they stay up by the skin of their teeth, let it be finishing eighth or finishing ninth and surviving a playoff, they can't just go on fan reaction and say, oh well, this has gone toxic, we need to get Rennie out. They need to like decide, is he the man, are we going to back him, and get a feckin' transfer policy in place, because you can't just keep going from, you know, signing players from overseas, right? That's not working. Let's sign some old boys back. Like, they need to get a proper recruitment system in place there. It's just all over the shop at the minute, Bowes. Stephen says, Galway robbed again. I think we both feel they were hardly done by. We read out Thomas's question about the competitiveness of the league. Fionn, what's he got to say? Only 100k. It's not worth it in regards to nobody wanting to win the league. Someone else says 9 games left. We just had our worst form of the season with 3 losses in 4 games. Thankfully ended on Friday with a brilliant comeback, and hopefully it gives us the confidence to continue fighting for third. Heavily relies on Rovers games in hand though. So that's a Waterford fan there. Do you think they'll finish in the top three?
Waterford?
Mm.
I don't see why not. Like, they have the capacity to do so. Why can't they keep that going and, you know, to really put a boot in the hole of Shamrock Rovers?
Again, hard to know with Rovers' situation in regards to Europe. If they go out, it's all eyes on finishing in the top three. I have a feeling Waterford might just come up short, to be honest.
Yeah, I think if Rovers get into the group stages, like, they have a lot to think about there. Like, that is going to take a lot of focus off the league. And they'll also be playing games on the Sunday. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
And we've seen, God, the crowd was dreadful for that draw of the game on Sunday. I didn't get the exact figure, but so many empty seats. And the atmosphere in Tala, and I've said this before, and Rovers fans will pile in here and they'll hammer me. The atmosphere in Tala is absolutely atrocious. And I thought when that news stand went up, or the... not the newest stand, but the other one where they put the ultras into, I thought, oh, surely the place will be rocking now. I've gone up there several times, even for European games, and I've been so disappointed. All you could hear on the stream the other day was the Drogheda fans.
Yeah, it was poor.
You really need to look at the atmosphere in Tala. It's woeful.
Yeah, it's not great. Wonderful team and all that. Thank you to the taxpayers of Ireland. But yeah, no, it's I know I've said this story before. I think I went a couple of years ago. I lost my mind. I went to like a game Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the Sunday game was Rovers against Hearts.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it was 5-0 or something.
5-0 like or something like that. No, 5-1. Hearts scored a beautiful goal, I think. Or I might have made that up, but yeah, it was a pacing anyway for Hearts, and I was just—I think I left early. I was just like, "What the Jesus am I at?" Like going to this, like there was no crack at it, nothing, just nothing. And it was a 5-goal game. It was just no buzz, no bang, nothing to it. I know it was top against bottom or near enough, but it was just desperate. The atmosphere needs definite looking at that, and it's a hard one because. You know, it's such a big stadium. Like, how do you get someone up there of a Sunday evening against Drogheda? But this is the.
It was a huge game for Rovers. If they won that, I think everyone agreed they were very much back in the title race. Yeah.
And like this is wedged in between like a European tie. Like, you know, there should be very motivated fans.
Yeah, but I suppose then too, it is costly to all these matches, so it's understandable as well. Yeah. Paddy, referees trying to do their jobs properly. Another bottle job of a ref in Galway again. So yeah, lots of tweets about that decision. And Elon Musty, is there anything in life more inevitable than death, taxes, and end of current scoring against Longford?
Well, like we're always fearful of it when he plays Longford. A few times though, he was injured. Yeah, I think he was running scared there for a while.
Yeah. I think now the record is 13 goals in 20 against Longford, something like that. I think he's level now. The only club he'd scored more against was at Lone, his other former club. But I think he's level now after the hat-trick the other night. So he just loves it in the Midlands.
He does. Jesus God.
Didn't love it when he was playing for us though.
No.
Couldn't hit a barn door.
No, couldn't kick it out of his way. It's mad though, but look, he's repaying us for that. Jesus Christ, we remind him. But what, that was 7 or 8 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe we should just stop talking about that.
Yeah,
tell him how great he was at Longford. Remember that hat trick he scored against that Lone? That questionable game of football.
Ah, good skin though, to be fair.
No, a good rustler, yeah. Look, that is BTS for this week, Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We were brought to you in association with our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out Quinn AV. .ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. A little bit like last weekend with all the European games. We actually didn't talk about it, Gaz, but it's huge Thursday night coming up for Pats and for Rovers. Pats are well positioned one up, but going over there with just a 1-goal lead, is it going to be enough? And Rovers, I actually think Rovers are still in with a sniff against Celje. Probably lucky to come away with only a 1-goal defeat in the away leg. Again, they were doing their typical Rovers thing of Europe, of trying to gift goals on a plate, but. Thankfully, the home side, their finishing wasn't up to much. So I think Rovers are still in with a shout, do you?
100%. And, you know, I think it can't hurt the league if you have two teams in group stages.
Mm.
Like, obviously, Virgin Media will have, you know, crisis talks because I think they still have the rights for those games. And when you're the local broadcaster, you have to broadcast the games, so that this would be, I'm not sure how well that would go down wherever they're based, but it would be class, like there's no question about it. I think it'd be great, like that'd be group stage football every Thursday night, Pats and Rovers there every day, so every Thursday. So
and of course Rovers just need this win to guarantee that, whereas Pats would still have another round to come through, and it'd be likely that they'd be playing Istanbul, Başakşehir, I think I've got that right, but that would obviously be a very, very tough game for them. But
what did you say before that? Shamrock Rovers would be guaranteed.
If Rovers win this, they're guaranteed, because Rovers are in the Europa League at the minute.
Yeah.
So if they win this, they're guaranteed conference stages at a minimum.
Oh, they don't go into the playoff?
No.
Oh, right.
They're still in the Europa League.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
If they win this tie, they go into the Europa League playoff, but they're guaranteed conference stage groups if they lose that tie.
Oh, shit.
Whereas Pats still would have to win this and then win a playoff round.
Right.
Likely, and it's a team from Istanbul, so...
Right. Okay. Well, look, you know, why not?
But even like to set up a tie like that for Pats would be unbelievable.
Oh, class. Yeah. Big occasion.
So you've got that Thursday, then you've got the cup running across the course of the weekend. So again, it's a great weekend to have the LOI TV season pass, although I know them European games are on Solid Sport. So, but look, it's a great weekend to watch as many games as possible and obviously get out to as many games as possible as well. So make sure you do that. So we'll wrap up for the second time. That was Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Series 8, Episode 25. Until next week, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.